Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
As on the radio.
And online at umfm.com.
Yes.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Alice.
And we talk about video games.
Mm-hmm.
Because we like video games.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, most of the time I enjoy video games.
They're a pastime of sorts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we collect a lot of video games, and I have been playing a game.
What game?
I've been playing Arctico. It was gifted to me around Christmas, and it's been so hot that I wanted to play a game that was about the cold.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It is a game that is still in early access on Steam, so it's still gradually being developed. It's $10.99, and it is about exploration and research in the Arctic.
Okay.
The story starts off that your mentor has recently passed away, and you are deciding to continue on their work in this Arctic region. It's not the Arctic as we know it, because there are penguins.
Okay.
But there's also walruses, foxes, and it's your job to go out there and discover what you can. Find minerals, plant seeds, and just pretty much take down as much research as you can, earn money, and explore this cool, vast, open world.
Okay.
It's a very chill little game. You have a dog sled team that you have to take care of. You get to name them at the beginning of the game, which is very neat.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a paraglider to jump off of high areas. It's very polygonal. I think you'd like the graphics of it.
Polygonal?
Polygonal.
Okay.
Polygonal, polygonal. It was supposed to be a survival game, but they changed it to an exploration and base building game.
Okay.
So I think that takes a lot of the stress off of it, because you don't have to feed yourself. You do have to feed your dogs and make sure they're okay. No going into deep water. But, I'm glad they don't have to make you eat or take care of yourself.
Yeah, well, that'd be a different kind of game, right?
A totally different kind of game. Far less relaxing.
Like, yeah.
This.
Well, if that's what it's supposed to be, yeah.
This game is very cool in that you have this wide open, seemingly bleak area, but you can see things on the horizon, and you can drive your dogs towards them. It's kind of slow-paced, but that's okay. As long as you can get back to your base on it, very quickly, you have a fast travel back to base.
Okay.
There's, like, ships in the distance, there's research areas, there's elevators you can find that will take you underneath the ice.
Mm-hmm.
To find fungus, to find large fish, to find new plants. It's kind of like a pared down Stardew Valley. I haven't found any other people to interact with, though they do say there is going to be co-op with this game, which I'm excited to find out about, because I'd like to play this with other people. And it's just, it's got a very chill soundtrack, and it's only being made by two people, Claudio Nerori and Antonio Vargas.
Cool.
So it's a very small production. This is the only game they've got out so far, and I'm excited to see what else they come out with.
Yeah.
Yeah, and other than that, I've been slowly picking my way through the indie bundle for Palestinian Aid.
So what have you been playing out of that?
Glitch Dungeon, mostly. It's a puzzle game in a 2D platformer.
Okay.
So this dungeon is completely glitched out. You have to try and make your way to different doors and unlock different doors. And I had to give up because my hand was starting to hurt because I was trying too long on a puzzle. So it's very challenging if you like a challenging 2D platformer.
Okay.
I will try and see if I can hook up the controller with this, because it's a little different on a keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
So the indie bundle for Palestinian Aid is available on itch.io right now, and it is $5 minimum. And you have 1,019 games available for Palestinian Aid.
Mm-hmm.
You picked it up as well.
Yep.
Did you get a chance to play anything in there yet?
No. I guess the other thing is, like, I own a lot of the games in it. Some things are not things that I'm interested in, but at the same time, like, that's fine. I paid $25 for it, you know, once again, minimum. Once again, there's a lot of great games in there. I highly recommend picking it up just because of the fact that it is like $5 minimum and you do get a lot of really good games.
It's over 1,000 games. Smile For Me, although it is a part of the bundle, they have found some issues with it, but the creators of Smile For Me also decided to put another sale out on Steam, fixing those issues, but still going towards the United Nations Relief and Works Agency.
Oh, cool.
So... But there's a lot of other really good games in there. Minute and Anodyne are both in that package, too, which I highly recommend.
Mm-hmm.
And what have you been playing this past week?
Well, okay. The new game that I started playing was Fear, which is a first-person shooter. I want to say it's like a... To an extent, there's, like, horror elements. But... Like, I would say for the most part, it is a first-person shooter. It's fine. Like, I think there are things with the fact that it's a very old game and it hasn't aged well. I'm happy that I can at least play it versus some older games that I own that I can't play, which I'm pretty bummed out about because some of them are games that I actually want to play. This one, I had started playing, like... I want to say, like, 5 years ago or something, I started playing it on my bad, old laptop. And, like, that, not to say that it's not, it didn't work then. It worked. But it also seems to, I don't know why, how this happens, but I'm having trouble, or I haven't consistently restart the whole game, like, shut down the game, start the game up again. Because all of a sudden, my little boy, my little character starts lagging. The whole game just starts chugging. And then I reload it and it's fine. So it's just, it's a little annoying. It's fine. Anyway, Fear, first person, horror-ish space shooter. And it sort of, it goes between shooty segments where you're shooting primarily other guys. And these sort of like... walky horror sections where there's little bits of and here's the thing. I think at a time and place this would have scared me. I don't know if it's just like I'm hardened or now I realize that I can play horror games that have like an element where I can destroy the things that were trying to kill me.
It gives you some control, right?
Yeah, but this game has things where, like, with this quote-unquote scary parts. Now, and granted, there are some little good things where, you know, you see someone walk past to something and it's like, ooh, he's not there anymore. But there are other instances where there will be, like, just, like, a dead CG head, like a JPEG flash in front of you. And it's just not as maybe effective as it once was. And I'm not going to say it was effective back then because I don't think it would have done anything for me then. So there's some of that. The basic is that there is a serial killer. Oh, also I'll point this out. We're in the year 2025, which is we're coming up. We're coming up on this.
4 years till Fear.
4 years till Fear. And basically, they've developed, the military has developed these sort of super soldiers that have some kind of psychic-like abilities, which comes into play when you are shooting people. And basically, it's like, it slows down time, right? It's like...
bullet time of sorts?
Literally, it's bullet... Yeah, it's bullet time. So, which lets you shoot things easier when you use your bullet time. Throughout the game, once again, you sort of go through these segments where you shoot people. And segments where you're sort of... It's kind of like a haunted house walkthrough situation kind of thing. Because there'll be kind of creepy things. There'll be a lot of dead people. And once again, the flashy things. There's sometimes creepy things that happen. And I don't want to say this is the originator of, like, creepy little girls in video games, but this has the creepy little girl in a video game. Her name's Alma. Like, dark hair, pale skin. And I don't want to say she's the main antagonist of the game, but she's the main horror element of the game.
The source of fear?
Yeah, sure. Fear is a... Fear is a... I don't know. What
an
is
acronym?
The word? Yes, thank you for... First Encounter Assault Recon. That's what it means. Obviously, there's other things, like, because, you know, it's scary. But that's what it means. Like, it's basically you and your boys are put in a situation where they think it's going to be okay, but it seems like there's this serial killer guy who has a bunch of military boys with him, and there's something to do with it. Like, I know the story, and I guess I'm trying to dance around it, even though it's like, this is a game from 2006. These guys had lofty ambitions for what 2025 would be, huh?
We didn't know what 2025 would be like.
Well, I wouldn't have assumed this in 2006. So, no. What I, like, and by this, I mean what Fear offers me.
Well, we still got 4 years for that to happen.
Sure.
Things could
change. Yeah, it's, yeah.
We don't know what will happen in 2025.
Yeah, who knows? But yeah, so it's an interesting enough game. I don't mind it. It's just a little wonky. It's a little hectic. Yeah.
The software is a bit old on the Elder side.
Yeah, exactly. But otherwise, it's not the worst. It has some good horror elements. I don't know if I'll check out the other games afterwards, but yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, in the meantime, well, I also did get a Nintendo emulator, and I got you to watch me struggle and ultimately fail at one of the classics of Nintendo, The Lion King. This is a very, very hard game.
And yeah, they did. It has been known for being purposefully hard because they wanted you to rent it. They didn't want you to be able to beat it in one sitting. Like, that's not how they lived.
Well, we were talking about it, and you said that Blockbuster had a deal that they would ask for harder games, rather like relatively small games, especially at that time, just like extremely hard games that people would not be able to beat in 2 to 3 days. Granted, I am playing this on a Super Nintendo controller that is Bluetooth. It might not have the same response as my beaten down, worn down controller for my regular Super Nintendo. But this game only lets me get to the second level.
Yeah, you haven't even got to Adult Simba.
I know. And yeah. I do remember getting there once or twice when I was a kid. Wow, this game, The Lion King. I'm tempted now to pick up the remaster they put out last year, which I think also came with Aladdin, which I don't remember Aladdin being nearly that hard.
No. And I don't know why Aladdin wasn't as hard. There was also the fact that Aladdin had, like, puzzle stuff, like, or not puzzle, had passwords, right?
That's true.
Yeah, whereas I don't think Lion King does. Or maybe you just don't know how to... You should probably actually check it out. I bet it does have a cheat.
I did check out the cheats, and I don't think they work the same with the emulator.
That makes sense. I feel, though, with the emulator, you could like, slow down the whole game, and just... You probably fiddle with the settings to make it, like, easier.
I could probably do that. That's one thing I really love about the Switch and how they put out games is that I have a rewind option, which is great, which was the only way I got through most of Star Fox. I'm not going to be ashamed of the fact that I've had to rewind multiple times.
Well, there is an amount of that some of these games, or like a lot of games in general, they had a certain level of hardness because not everybody could afford games, so we would rent games. And they would want you to rent them for more than one weekend. And so to do that, they were like, let's make this terrible. Which is too bad because Lion King is bright and colorful. And it's the Lion King.
The soundtrack is amazing. It's so enjoyable.
It's just the Lion King in 8-bit, but it's good. Yeah.
And they have voice clips, which is not something you got back in the Super Nintendo days very often. Because if you had too many, it would slow down the whole program. Tales of Phantasia had a lot of voice clips, and if they started really going, the whole game would just start chugging for a Super Nintendo.
Yeah, that's par for the course a little bit, right?
Yeah. But I am going to try and pick up more emulator games. We've mentioned emulator games on this show before, and just how they are important for the preservation of video game media, because a lot of the stuff isn't available anymore.
No.
Or never got brought over. Or just... it's rare and hard to find, and they are not being released the way they should. So, I'm having fun. I think I'm also going to check out Earthbound now that I have the means to do so.
Yeah, well, you've always had the means to do so. I played Earthbound on my phone, Megan. Like, you've always had the means, Megan.
Now I have the means that are comfortable for my hands, because I've done emulators on my phone before, but they just take so much battery.
Yeah, but I would say for something like Earthbound, that it's such a, not a linear game, but it's like, it has the benefit of they did that thing where once you're strong enough, it just auto-kills everything. So it's just like, it's beautiful. That was an amazing system that was implemented in the Super Nintendo, and then people were like, they forgot about it and then had it later. Like, literally, yeah. It's like, they were like, no, my way is better. And then when it popped up again, we were like, oh, this is the best. It was just like, yeah, hey, Earthbound. Do you remember when Earthbound did it? It was good.
Nobody remembers Earthbound because not many people got Earthbound when it came around. Or at least no one I knew grew up with Earthbound.
Well, there wasn't a lot of copies because people didn't think it would sell in the States. Even though it was like, it's a game that was highly based off of like the States. And just like the aesthetic of it is like hardcore Americana, which is very funny.
The marketing was very strange. Like, I do know that they sent out, like, smelly stickers, like, weird.
Yes. Well, not... They have, in the package, like, they have scratch and sniff stickers, which was a big thing back in the day. I don't know if they should bring it back. A little bit of me is like, that'd be cool, but they did purposely make them, like, gross smells. Except that, well, maybe not gross. I feel there was, like, a hot dog one.
I don't want to know what that would,
By now, yeah.
By now, no. Not in this world.
Not in this economy, yeah.
But yeah, so I'm going to check out more emulator games and see if I can't find some very old classics that I used to play but can't seem to find anymore.
Yeah, or just that are $1 million if you tried. You should play the other DuckTales game that is, like, $300. It's DuckTales 2, literally. It's DuckTales. It's the second DuckTales game.
And for the regular Nintendo?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I have played that one. We had it on our PlayStation when they released the Disney...
Do they have the second one on it as well?
I'm pretty sure I went through the second one, because I went through the first DuckTales, the second DuckTales, and Darkwing Duck.
Oh, which you should do the Rescue Rangers one. Darkwing Duck was hard, huh?
Darkwing Duck was, again, I'm so glad that now that they're releasing these games, they give you a rewind option.
Yeah.
Because there is no way, even as good as I am at 2D platformers, that I would not end up throwing something out of frustration. Because these are not easy games. Again, that's that rental agreement that Blockbuster made with Capcom made the majority of these. Licensed Disney licensed games, so thanks for that.
They did a really good job, to be honest. It's just, once again, they knew how to make money, and that was how to make video games hard.
Well, actually, that's also what they did with the arcade cabinets as well, and people got so many quarters. I think we'd also mentioned before the amount of money that Pac-Man had made, which was more than $8 million in the 80s just by existing and being a game that was hard and took quarters. $8 million in quarters.
Yeah, no, well, it makes sense that, you know, once people started getting their own video games into, like, their houses rather than going to arcades and stuff, that they would try to exploit money out of people other ways. Isn't it funny? Video games has always been about exploiting people. Hey, video games, stop it. We've just found new and fun ways to do it, right?
They didn't have loot boxes back then, but made things hard.
But I'm like, if they could have had loot boxes back then, they would have. Like, you would have maybe, like, it's like, you know, you would have bought a pack of cards on the side, right?
Or just pay an extra credit for extra benefits.
Yeah.
Like, 50 cents.
Well, once again, DLC used to be free, and then, you know.
Yeah. we have some qualms with how DLC costs money after you've already purchased a whole game.
It depends. It really depends. But it's, you know, it used to, once again, DLC to an extent used to be free. Used to be free additional content. Now there's things like the game passes, right, where you are guaranteed the DLC, but at the same time you're paying it, and you're like, I already paid for a video game.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So I believe that's everything we got for you for this week on that kind of sad note.
Yeah, well, video games.
Video games. All right, everybody, we're going to go and actually play more video games and come back to you next week with some reports on some new stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, hopefully. All right, everybody, keep changing.
Bye.